Good morning. Alrighty. Well, we're having a lesson on one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. How unusual for me to say that. Have y'all ever noticed that? This is my favorite book. This is my favorite chapter. But I think this is a favorite of lots of people. So let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy, holy is your name. We pray, Father, for your kingdom to come. We pray for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Sovereign God, that you have control of the election, that whoever you place in office is going to be who you think needs to be there, either for what we feel our good or for our worst. But you're still in control, and we praise you for that. We ask for each one of us to continue to be responsible the way we feel in different things. But it's still up to you, and we are so thankful it's not up to us. We need to, especially, Father, to ask you to be with all of the people that would be leaving Sunday morning to go to the mission trip to build a house or something, and they're leaving on Sunday. And so we ask you to continue to bless them as they get prepared to go and as they leave, and keep them safe. We're so thankful, Father, that you opened the door, that Allison is going to be able to start her work on her eyes today. And we just know, Father, that you, Jesus, through this open door, are going to heal her eyes, and she's going to be healthy and whole and feel good from this time forward. So just bless her and bless the people working with her. May your Holy Spirit lead us this morning and open our eyes to the truth. May we, Father, be your instruments, and may we please you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I said here, I was talking to Sharon, because Sharon's real easy for me to talk to. She was next door to me. And she says, well, you know, it's one more time, that first verse, it just says what it says, and it is what it is. And I said, you're right. So, we're in John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that we you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place and where I'm going. That just confused these guys all to pieces. Anyway, he said, don't worry about it. Trust God, trust me. And then he goes on to talk about many rooms. Remember, Jews write in pictures. I got to thinking about this. You know, we were talking about when Joseph was going to marry, we learned this, that he asked her a year in advance, and they are already engaged, and in some people's eyes already married, but he could not bring her home to be with him for a year because he had to add a room onto the house. So whenever time anybody in the family got married, you may have started out with one room. Well, it took a year to get that room built and have the place to move somebody else in. And so what this is actually saying is there is room for everybody. And when you get to reading from Revelation, and it says when everybody from every tongue and every nation has shown up to be with God there, there's going to be millions of people. So we can't all get in a dormitory. And when this is written, most people had one room. And when I look at rooms, I look at walls. There's going to be no walls. There's no division. Even in Revelation, it says that there will be no more sea. What divides us from here in Europe, and what divides us all over the nation and all over the world. My kids, my grandkids went to London, and now they're in France. And so I've got the maps out again, and I told Amy a while ago, I have found Hong Kong, and I now know where she came from, and she's a long ways from home. And so, but everything that divides will not be there anymore, because we're going to all be one, and all be one with each other. Now then, Jesus has said, you have not even thought about what's going to happen. You know, when you try to figure all of this out, you think, well, I know it's going to be this way. You are wrong. One thing I thought about, have you ever been in a going across the United States or somewhere, and you have driven and you've driven all day long, and you are so tired you could scream. And you know, if I get to this next town, I have a room reserved. And so you go there and you can take a bath and you can go and get in a good bed and you can sleep and you can finally be rested for the first time. Just think about that with Jesus. He said, you have a reservation. Your name is written in heaven. You're in the log if you have taken Jesus as your Savior. And so we will be already there. And my name is written in the palm of his hand. That tells you this is a word picture. God don't have a hand like our hands. And I got to looking at this. They're looking at this and Jesus is going to tell them, I'm leaving you. I'm never going to die. And they look at this as the end. Jesus is looking at this as the beginning.
Yes.
So also, you need to think of that too. Because living 90 years, as I've managed to do, is nothing to compare to living through eternity. So we need to think big because we have a big God and we have a big Savior. And so we have three little comments here. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus, this is the answer. I am the way. Nobody has to tell Jesus where he's going. He is the way. Not only does he know the way, he is the way. And if we want to go and be with him, we go through him. Because he is the way. And not only that, he says, I am the way. He also is the truth. All truth is from him. You know, that we've got this wonderful idea now, from especially, I think, people in the United States, that there is no truth. It's all relative. Just whatever you want to think. Well, bless your heart. You better get your act together. And he said, and the life. This is the beginning. Then he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus came. Also, you remember when we've gone through some of this, he's the door. He had to open the door, and he had to open the way. And so he says, this is it. He said, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him, for you've seen him. What if that doesn't confuse the poor baby? Then Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And this to me, there's two verses in the Bible that just breaks your heart. This one, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, I thought, you have been with me for 3 years, night and day. And you hadn't snapped on each head that I am God. Anyway, who has seen me has seen the Father. And how can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? They can't at this point. They can't. The words I say are to you not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe in me when I say I am in the Father and the Father in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith, watch this. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. That's another real thing. I am the way. I will be you working through me. I have all the answers. And then he said, I will do whatever you ask me. And he said, if you love me, you would obey me. I want you to think real hard here about this because, you know, I hear so many people saying, well, if I could have just been with Jesus on earth like the apostles. Did you know more about Jesus than they did? Because we have had the power of the Holy Spirit to teach us. They had not had that yet. They will be told again today. This is their last day. They've had the communion. They've had the Passover. They have gone out into outside to be together. I don't know whether it's night now, but he is talking to them. This is the last things he will say to them. He will be put in the hands of the people that will crucify him in 24 hours. And so this is why it's so important. And so he tells them, and we'll go over that again in the next chapter, you go and you stay in Jerusalem until the power comes upon you, and he will lead you and empower you in all things. Then you will know who I am, and then you will understand. You cannot know God without the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said also, through the power of the Word, he said, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. You have to have the Holy Spirit to bring you to faith. You have to have the Holy Spirit to convict you of truth. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit to bring you to the Lord. And then he will teach you all things. And that's why it's so important we see what the Holy Spirit does in this chapter. Because there we cannot do it without that power from God. So here, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. Who's the first counselor? Jesus. To be with you forever. This is a promise to us. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because neither they see him nor know him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Not yet. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes, and then on the day of Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to them. He said, I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. And you also will live, and on that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. That is a big sentence. So just as Jesus and the Father are one, we are part of this family, and we become one with them. And he said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. And so that is a huge... If you haven't got that marked and read, you need to mark that red. And he said, whoever has my commands and obey them, it is he that who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. That's why we know Jesus better than they did, because they at this point had not had the Holy Spirit open their eyes. Even though they had been with him night and day, and night and day, and his teachings and his miracles had been there, man cannot do that by themselves. It takes the power of God. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Every once in a while, somebody said, if Jesus came to your house, would you let him in? You know what I put on that? I said, he lives here. He said, I get up and have breakfast with him every morning. Yep. He didn't need any coffee. But somebody said, aren't you lonesome living by yourself? I said, I'm not by myself. He will be with you. Be assured you are not alone. He said, I'm not going to leave you all alone. He said, I'm going to empower you. And he's going to go and say, you ought to be glad I'm leaving. And of course, that went over well. And he said, he who does not love me will not obey my teachings. That's why we come up here every Wednesday, and sometimes we come at 11 o'clock. It's to hurt to read his teachings. The Holy Spirit is the power behind this whole Bible. Jesus started being taught in the Garden of Eden to Eve. The first prophecy of Jesus started there. And all the way through this book, there is one person and one theme, and that one person and that one theme is Jesus, all the way to the end of Revelation. And he said, I am the Word, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So it would be really good if you study this book a whole lot, because you'll know Jesus better. Well, that day, Christian Elton next door, she came over, and I had three Bibles open, and it gets strung out. Nobody walked through the house because I'm studying and don't bother me. She said, what are you doing? I said, I am studying for finals. Surely goodness, I'm going to kick the bucket one of these years. But, so, I don't care how old you are, you're studying for finals, because we never know when that final day is going to be. And so, the most wonderful thing you can do is to learn more about Jesus through the Holy Spirit Word. If anyone loves me, okay, then accept all I have spoken while with you, but the Counselor, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit whom the Father has sent in my name, okay, what's the Word going to do? He will teach you all things. So I've made a list. Number one, I said he'll be with you forever. He's the Spirit of truth. He promises he will know him and also live in you. And then Jesus comes to us in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be our teacher. You can, you know, some people say, well, I read the Bible, it's just another book. They haven't had any teaching. The teacher's here. The teacher has been poured out on all people. The teacher is ready. He starts by teaching us through nature. You know, in Romans 1 and 2, he said nobody has any excuse to say there is no God. Anybody that's lived and looked around and seen nature, the consistency and the beauty of it and everything else, you have no excuse. And he said, I'm going and he will teach you all things. Not only that, he will remind you of everything that they had been told for the last 3 years. They were, you know, they didn't know what they was doing half the time. Most of them was a bunch of fishermen. And they'll think, well, what was he talking about there? And he said, well, the Holy Spirit will pull it back up. It will be in your mind, and he will tell you what you were supposed to be learning at that time, which you did not have the power to know. We don't have the power to know unless we are open to the teaching from God's Word and the Holy Spirit. And so another thing that the Holy Spirit is going to do, peace I live with you. My peace I give you. That way you don't run around scared to death and just don't know what's going to happen if the election or whatever else don't go your way. You don't matter. You have the sovereign God watching after you. And it may be hard and it may be easy, but it's not going to be what any of us thought, because God's always in control and he's just full of surprises. But you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to get sick.
Well, if this don't happen, we're just going to all happen to you.
Well, if you're going down the tube, you might ought to get your Bible. So then, we know that Jesus is the power. He is also the teacher. And so then he says here, he said, I do not give to you any as the world gives. Nobody in this world is going to understand what's going on with you if you are a follower of God. They can't. Until the Holy Spirit opens their ears and opens their eyes and the power begins to pull their heart. And it may get so bad that nobody else can fix it, so they have to find, well, maybe God is still here. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You know, everybody I run into now is scared. If we're the only ones in control, I'd be scared too. I'd probably be drunker than a goose. But God's still in control, and he is sovereign. And he's not going to let you know exactly what he's up to. If you've lived 90 years, you've seen so many surprises in life. How many of you decided that you could tell God how you were going to fix something? How often did that work? And there were times that Gene and I thought we were at the bottom of the pit. God opened the door and was better off, and we had to get there before he could give us another direction. You that don't know me, my name's Gene, and I was married to Gene. So, that gets real confusing sometimes. Anyway, he said, don't be afraid. You know, you worry about what your kid's going to do. Well, honey, you're not going to live long enough to know, so it doesn't matter. I love, there was a poem a long time ago. It said, your children live in a room that you're not going to be able to enter. That's the future. Said, God let you have them for a little while, and then you're no more. But if you have introduced them to God and they know Jesus, you've done your part, and they're still not there. Your prayers may not be answered to 20 years after you're dead, but don't give up. Those prayers never leave the throne of God, and God's working on it. It may have to be pretty hard before they can turn to you. He said, you heard me say I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. Now that's confusing. If he dies, how in the world will we come back? Human thinking never does work in any of this. Only by the power of faith and only by the power of God is anything going to make any sense. He said, if you love me, you'd be glad that I'm going to my Father. You're glad we're, yeah. I'm sure those old guys were not that glad to hear this information. And so why should they be glad? He said, for the Father is greater than I am. He said, I've told you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you'll believe me. Isn't it God good that God forewarns us? He's forewarning us here. Don't be afraid. It's going to work out. You may die. Somebody else may die. That's not the end. That's the beginning. And so it says, I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. And he has no hold on me. A lot of people think, well, the Romans and the Jews did away with Jesus. He said, this isn't their plan. He said, I'm not leaving because one of them's going to not own me and somebody else is going to come and get me and somebody else is going to crucify me. This is God's plan. And that takes a lot of faith. And only when you realize that God had a purpose. But notice what it says here. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. What has his Father commanded him? He was born to die. He was born to be sacrificed. You know, when you go back to Genesis, and God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are before this world was created. And they decided before they created this world that this was going to have to happen because they knew if they created us with choices and created us in God's image that we'd begin to think one time or another that we're as smart as God and that we knew more than God did and that we would leave him. And that the only way that we could get him back was Jesus to come. Jesus was sent to teach us the Father. He keeps saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus is going back to the Father and coming, sending the Holy Spirit to teach us about Jesus. That's his purpose here. He's going to teach us and teach us. And not only that, he's going to give us the power to believe what he teaches us. He's going to give us the power to understand what we read in the Bible. We're on kind of on the end gate. He's already had men inspired by the Holy Spirit to write down everything that's happened since the beginning. Then he's had men to learn languages and have them interpreted into our languages. Then he's had men that he has taught how to make print and how to make books. And then he has given us his word that we can hold in our hand. He has blessed us beyond measure. We are so blessed. More than any people, these fishermen here, these people here, they didn't have any Bible. They didn't even have in their hands the Old Testament. Those were held by the priest, and every once in a while the priest would read them something out of it. They couldn't pick up God's word and go over it and over it and to learn more and more and to be more blessed and more blessed. We are so blessed. And I mean back for generations all the way to the creation. This is new. This is in the last hundreds of years. And you know, it's thousands of years that we've been at this. And so he said that all of this was God's plan. And you will learn that in Ephesians I think we're going to study Ephesians next. Because he said in times past that this plan was already in existence. I think that we are now living in the last days. This is something that's very controversial. But Jesus has said several, and when you get to read the Bible, it says these are the last days. And the kingdom began on the day of Pentecost. We are a part of the kingdom now. We will live and be there forever. And when we had our prayer this morning, God's will be done. God's will is whether we live or whether we die, and He has a purpose for that, and we won't see those purposes until we are with Him. And, you know, I lost a 15-year-old grandson, great-grandson, and he had purposes for that, and I think in some respect we have seen a lot of the purpose of Caden going, because I think thousands of young people have come to faith because of Caden's leaving early. But when they came and said that he didn't make it, I said, thank God for God. When you have nothing, you have hope that God is in this. And they said, well, it's an accident. Yeah. But I don't know if anybody that had stronger faith than Caden. And he is, I just look at it this way, how blessed we were to have him for 15 years. God, let him be a part of our family. You have to look for how you're being blessed now. We are a part of his family now. We are a part of his kingdom now. He is our king. He is the one that we worship. And he is the one that has you a reservation. And so we are so blessed. And we're not going to understand living in this world. It's a hard place to live. Millions of children don't get out of the womb. Millions of children die of starvation. Millions of people have left prematurely. But this isn't all it is. Jesus said, let the little ones come unto me. There's going to be so many babies in heaven.
It's going to be ridiculous.
Because they're already in the arms of Jesus, and you don't have to worry about them. That Jesus is our hope. He is our life. He is our truth. He is the way. And if you want to know him, you have to be open to be led by the Spirit, because that is what it has said here, that we will come. And he said, we'll come to you and live in your home, and the Holy Spirit will teach you all things about me and remind you of my teaching. Jody Tracy usually calls me on Monday or Tuesday before I teach. She said, you got your lesson together. I said, as far as I can go, it's now up to the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing how he steps in. You know, I can't remember the name of the restaurant we ate at last week, but I can remember God's word when I have to know it. Because I have put it in my mind, don't waste your time with junk. That's why I'm so careful when I read. I can get through about 5 pages, and if I don't agree with where the person is, that book's not for me, and I am a bookaholic. I can read them by the dozens, but I'm very, very particular. If it's not going to draw me closer to the Lord, it's not my book. And be open and realize you've got power. When you read something, you're like, well, that don't make a lick of sense. Well, pray about it. Meditate on it. And if you still don't make sense, talk to somebody that knows a little bit more about the Bible than you do, and maybe between the two of you it'll make sense. And so, he is there to teach us to open our minds. You know, I've heard people say, God's never talked to me. Have you opened the Word? Have you read from it? God has talked to you. God talked to her. God comforted her. And we have a lot of people in here that have lost a lot of people at this time. And all of these words are his words to you.
Yes.
And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he can comfort you. If this wasn't filled with the power, you could read them and still not be comforted. There is power in his words. There is life in his words. There is truth in his words. There's anchor in his words. There's assurance in his words. And I love those Bibles that are read and where you can say, oh, Jesus talking to me again. And that's another thing. You know, I can ramble all morning, y'all. You need to read the 4 Gospels every year. Read Matthew. That's addressed mainly to the Jews, and you'll learn how all of the Jews saw so much fulfillment and prophecy from the Old Testament. Then read Mark. Mark and I get along real well, because the most important word in Mark is straightway. was talking to somebody a while ago. It was Felicia. She and I are both straightway. We got something to do, get out of the way, or we're going to run over you. And that was the way Peter was. He was all for doing something that was probably wrong, but he was ready. And that's what Mark is Mark writes down what happened with Peter. And then we have Luke. He is very detailed. He is a doctor. He is going to make sure everybody's got it straight. And he writes it down very good. All this is what I learned. Mark does all of Luke does all of Luke, and he does all of Acts. And he said, I was there. This is what it is. But the Holy Spirit worked through this crazy Greek doctor. He can work through anybody. But I was, I have great grandchildren, and Abby, she had finished reading. She's such a good reader in the Bible. She said, what guideline do you go by? And I said, well, I'm studying usually so much, I just go by whatever I'm working on. But I said, I think it'd be a good idea if you just read through the Gospels. You know, we like to read the Old Testament, we like history, we like this, and then we like that. But we need to know Jesus really well. And then when you see something that is in red, you'll think, he's talking to me. What is he telling me? What am I going to do about it? And by the Holy Spirit's power, he will teach you all things. But he expects you to be ready to learn. But he gives you the power to learn. We can't be thankful that we're grieving. We can't be thankful for being sad. But we there's things we could be thankful for if you've got the faith in God. You know, as I said, the first thing hit me, thank God for God. Mm-hmm. If I didn't have God, and I didn't have hope, and I didn't have the assurance that I have, there's just some things you just can't handle. But that's when the Holy Spirit runs to you. And that's when he says that your prayers, even when you can't even put them into words, and it's just crying and moaning in your heart, that's sad. The Holy Spirit forms words, gives them to Jesus, and Jesus intercedes for the Father. We have all three of them working for us. And that's what we can be thankful for, that it's that, some, number one, somebody's listening. How many times have you been when if just somebody that understood would listen to me? Be good listeners. The most important thing you can do is listen. I've had people sit with me, and I never got three words in sideways, and they'd got through, they talked for an hour. And they said, you helped me so much. People cannot understand what they're thinking if they don't verbalize it. Anybody in here that has something that really is on their heart, find somebody to listen. There's a whole bunch of listeners in here. But it is... always realize if you can't find anybody listening, the Holy Spirit's listening. He's empowering you to make it through the next 30 minutes and the next hour, the next minute. And he also is interceding for you. When you can't even put it into words, you just hurt so bad you can't say anything. Isn't it wonderful that you've got somebody that has the power to do this? And that's our God, and this is the assurance that we have. And the reason we have this assurance is because of the Holy Spirit. Yes. There's power there. I was raised in a church that they said the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and we don't need to talk about that anymore. Bless hearts. I didn't listen, as usual. And so the teaching and the learning God's Word is very complex. And it is hard to understand, but it makes more and more and more sense the older you get and the more years you put into it. Thank God. That's why I had to live so long. I've learned more since I was 80 than I did in the first 80 years, so there you go. Don't ever quit being a learner about God, because he's got so much good stuff for you to know, and the power of the Holy Spirit is there. And these are principles. Know Jesus is to know God, because he is God. Obey Jesus. God's word shows us our love for him and his love for us and what love is. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, like in Acts 2:17. He said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. There's power going through here. My kids, my grandkids work so much in mission work that it always astounds them when the Holy Spirit sets in. Rob was speaking to a group in England, London, England yesterday, and Christy called me and said, Mimi, get to praying that Rob's going to be speaking today. And he's speaking to 42 young people that's over there in London with my great-granddaughter this time. And Kenny said, they're not all Christians. We have a prayer chain that any time that anything's going on, it goes through our family. I have Teresa, my daughter. I have two daughter-in-laws, and that's Lisa and Penny and Christy. And anytime anything serious is going on, we get one or the other. We've got to pray about this. Your prayers are mighty because it helps open the doors that nobody else can open because they go to God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we go and say, Jesus is the way. He is the truth. And somebody said, well, I just don't understand. I don't know. Well, you have an opportunity to if you get to know Jesus, because he is the truth. And if you learn the truth, you're going to have a life. No one comes to the Father except by Jesus. Now that goes all the way back to the Old Testament. He died for all of us. And all of the people, if you read Hebrews 11th chapter, it said by faith they knew Jesus was coming because they knew God. By faith they knew God. By faith they were obedient to him. They didn't see it all realized with the coming of Jesus. But Jesus' blood goes all the way back to the beginning. That's the one sacrifice that is all that's needed. That he had one sacrifice and then he sat down. Up until that time, the priests never got to sit down because they never ran out. They had to continue to make a sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. But Jesus' one sacrifice goes all the way back to the first and all the way forward. He is the life, and the Father was in Jesus, and Jesus was with the Father. And the Father comes to us and lives with us. I just think that's so exciting when you think that Jesus and the Father God's just moved in. Is he living in your house? Look for him. That's real, real comforting. And we just have a going on conversation all the time. Because I need all the help I can get, good Lord. And then the Holy Spirit will teach you about Jesus and help you to remember what you've been taught. Nothing but good stuff comes from God.
Father God, we thank you that you talk to us. We thank you that we are never alone, that you are with us. Father God, we just ask that you continue to guide us in your ways, that we continue to show the world your light, that we continue to trust you no matter what comes our way, that even when your answers are not what we think should be, let us, our heart, know that you know best, and you are our Father, and you care for us. Thank you for sending Jesus, and for the Holy Spirit, Father God, for the people that teach us and give us your word. May it be sealed to our hearts. May we proclaim it. May we know that you are with us no matter what, even when times are hard. We love you and we trust you, Father God, and it's in your name we pray. In Jesus' name also. Amen.
Amen. Amen.